Parshas Va'era. Alright, Va'yedaber Elokim al Moshe. Hashem spoke to Moshe. 6-2. Tamari is listening. 6-2. Parshas Va'era. Special shir in honor of Tamari. Va'yedaber Elokim al Moshe. Va'yedaber Elov. Ani Hashem. And Hashem said to Moshe, Ani Hashem. Okay, let's see over here, Rashi. Rashi says, Vayidaber, Vayidaber, Lashon of Dibur, Vayidaber, Dibur, Itoy Mishpat. Okay, so Rashi says, I hope you can see this on the screen. I'm reading the Rashi. It's not so clear on my screen. I don't know why not. That maybe the picture will come out okay? It's not so clear by me. Dibur, Itoy Mishpat. Rashi says that Hashem spoke to Moshe Mishpat with harshness. Al Shehikshel Dildabe Veloimar Loma Hariyos Lomazeh. Moshe complained. Moshe was a complainer. He said to Hashem, Loma Hariyos, why have you dealt evil to these people? Vayoimer Elov Ani Hashem. And Hashem said to him, Ani Hashem. Neman Lishalim Socher Tov Limishalchim Lefonai. Ani Hashem in this context means, I pay good reward to the people that walk before me. I did not send you for nothing. I sent you in order that you should fulfill the words that I promised the forefathers. It's a very important, very interesting Rashi. Rashi telling us over here is that Hashem is telling, according to Rashi, Rashi is reading into the Pasuk, that Hashem says to Moshe, you are the messenger to fulfill the promise I made to the Ovis. The reason why this is very interesting is because when we study Yadus, there are really two different books. We look at Yadus from the perspective of the Ovis, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov. And every time we talk about who are we? We come from our ancestors, the Ovis and the Imois. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. But then there's an entirely different world of Moshe Rabbeinu, Matan Torah. Anything that happened until the time of Matan Torah, you almost get the impression, it's very frightening to say, is irrelevant. The more you learn, the more you get that impression, before Matan Torah, forget about it. The world didn't exist. The world started with Matan Torah. Nothing else mattered. Everything that happened before Matan Torah was not relevant. We were Makabel, the Torah on Har Sinai. Hashem offered the Torah to all the nations of the world. They rejected it. We accepted it. This elevated us. We became special. And there are, I mean, it's really very powerful. This moment of Matan Torah. In fact, in Ma'aseh Bereishis, everyone knows the end of creation. It says, Vayer vayivoker yoim ha-shishi. And Rashi there on the pasuk tells us, the famous Chazal, why does it say shishi with the hey ha-yidiyah ha-shishi, to tell us the entire world was waiting for the day of the sixth day of Nisan, if Klal Yisrael would accept the Torah. If they would, then the world would have legitimacy to continue to exist. And if they will not accept the Torah, if they will not accept the Torah, then the world will come to an end. So Matan Torah is everything. So is there any connection between Moshe Rabbeinu, whose goal was Matan Torah, and what happened before? This Rashi is the key. This is a very powerful Rashi. Rashi here says, V'loy l'chinam shalachtich, I did not send you for nothing. Ki'im l'kayim, to fulfill, devorai, my words, shedibarti le'ovois harishonim. It's a very beautiful principle. The Moshe Rabbeinu is a bridge. It's not just that when it comes to Matan Torah, it's a new world, and anything that happened before is irrelevant. Moshe is not independent. Moshe Rabbeinu's role is a binder. He connects us to the others to fulfill the words. And then Rashi goes in back to what he said before. The word Ani Hashem, the words Ani Hashem represent a principle. I am faithful to punish. Where it says by punishments, if you profane, Eshem Elokecha, Ani Hashem. What does it mean in this pasuk, Ani Hashem? It means Hashem will punish Chas v'Shalom. V'Shu Omer Eitzel Kim HaMitzvahs, reward. Reward. Tamari, reward. You see that? Good things. Only good things. When it says Eitzel Kim HaMitzvahs, Koyi v'shamarit mitzvahsai v'asis mosam Ani Hashem, reward. Neman Litein Tzoch, Hashem is going to give you reward. Tamari, only good things. Okay, so we have over here, Ani Hashem. So Rashi over here is telling us a very powerful principle. Ani Hashem represents the principle of giving reward. Now let's go over here to the Targum. The Targum of Malil Hashem Meishav Amar Le'ano Hashem. I am Hashem. Okay, over here we have the parish of the Sai. Malil Kosar Raman Lefishitas Rambam Shunkelis Boreach B'Targumay Melashones Hamoyrim 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 Hagoshma Eitzel Habore. Okay, he's over here coming to discuss a principle, and he brings from the Rambam. Very interesting that the Rambam quotes Unkelis. The Rambam, by the way, did the Rambam ever meet Rashi? Did the Rambam ever come in contact with Rashi? We really have no record that he did. Did the Rambam know? Like, the Rambam lived much longer. Rambam was born after Rashi died. The Rambam and Rashi did not overlap. Rambam was much late, not much later, he was like, I don't know, approximately 100 years late or something like that. Question, did the Rambam know about Rashi? It's hard to say he did not. There's a legend, maybe it's even in writing, I'm not sure, where the Rambam wrote that he wanted to write a perush on Chumash. Could you imagine if we had from the Rambam a perush on Chumash? Could you imagine what that would be like? A perush on Chumash. The Rambam, he wrote the perush on the Mishnayis, which is spectacular. And the Yad HaChazaka, a Sefer HaMitzvahs, have many teshuvas from the Rambam. The Rambam supposedly, maybe it's in writing, wanted to write a perush on Chumash, and supposedly he said it's not necessary. The Frenchman has already done that. Who is the Frenchman that he was referring to? This legend is true. Rashi. So he did know about Rashi. Yet here, I don't believe, to the best of my extremely limited knowledge, the Rambam ever quotes Rashi. He never mentions him anywhere. And the Rambam does mention Unkelis. Now, obviously, Unkelis is from the Tana. The Unkelis is from the times of the Tanoim. And Unkelis, what he wrote, is just a tradition from the Mesorah, what was given at Har Sinai. So interesting, we're learning over the Shir and Rashi and Unkelis. Rashi was hundred, how many years was Rashi after Unkelis? 1,000 years after Unkelis. Rashi was about 1,000 years after Unkelis. And we're matching them up. Rashi and Unkelis, you get the impression when you learn Rashi, and Rashi quotes Unkelis, you would get the impression that the Unkelis is sitting next to him in the Beis Medrash, and they're fighting it out. Unkelis came only 1,000 years before Rashi, excuse me. That's a long time. Okay, Rashi died in the year 10, I think Rashi died in the year 11, something like 11, or maybe Maevsky would know this. Rashi died in the year, I think 1115, something like that. And Unkelis' time, the Tanoim, the Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed in the year 70. So, and the time of the Beis, the Chum Beis HaMikdash, was the beginning of the Tanoim. So we're dealing with a 1,000-year difference. And yet you get the impression that Rashi lived the same time. But anyway, over here, it's over here. Lama, he writes over here, and this Unkelis, B'vorech B'targum, B'loshos HaMorim, HaGoshma, Itzel HaBori. Rambam writes, the Unkelis never ever wants to describe Hashem in physical terms. He doesn't do that. Gosha means Gashmias. Etzlabari. Loma edabarech minahambira vahadibar vyakriya. And therefore the question over here is, why then does Unkelis not separate himself from translating speaking? And Mira and Dibor and Kriya, these are three, Shukulam targem vi Omar Hashem. Umalil Hashem, or Vikara Hashem. Okay, three different translations for the word, for these words. Harehim Moirim Hagoshma, V'hoyol Targim, V'yis Amar Min Kodam Hashem, O V'amar Yikara Da Hashem, the honor of Hashem, O the Yisra'ei Hashem, I don't know what that word means, Kifi Haroi B'inyin. So he's asking a question. The question over here is, if it's true that the Unkelis consistently prevents, denies, will not translate, will not give Hashem any physical attributes, will not describe Hashem that he's powerful, anything that relates to a physical human being, Unkelis will never translate words in reference to Hashem, giving any hint, any relation that Hashem should be something physical. Yet there is an exception, and the exception is speech, the koyach hadibur. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe, the Targum just says it very simply, that Hashem umalil Hashem im Moshe lemeimar, which means Hashem spoke. Excuse me, the word speaking is a physical act. It means there is voice waves, there are vocal cords, there is a throat, there is breathing. Speech is a physical act. So if you want to say that Hashem spoke, and if the Targum would be consistent, he should say that there are different expressions that the Targum could use that would indicate that it's not a physical dibur, it's a spiritual dibur. It was said from before Hashem, which is an expression which at least changes the attitude of what is taking place. Hashem is not actually speaking. It was a dibur that came forth from before Hashem. Or the word yukara da Hashem, but no. The Targum says it just straight out. So this is the question that he's asking. So why then is it so? And the proof is the Targum, whenever it says that Hashem heard, he never says that Hashem heard, because hearing is something that is physical. And if that's why the Targum changed the expression with the word Shmiya, it was heard before Hashem. Uvin hatsaka, crying, Shamoya eshma atsaka soi, metargim, kabla akabel, I will accept. Targum does not say that Hashem listens. The Targum there follows his general rule that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts. He understands what's happening. Gamal zeh ton haramban, shekamosh shamoyra haramban, shein tzorech l'harchik, l'shonas shel ri'iya etzel abarikeven, shemoyrim al hasogas seichel, kol shrei b'shmiya shehi toimer al hasoga miseichel, v'rotzvayin b'rim v'kamos, kagoyin, v'yishma avrom l'kol sorai, l'kol sorai, al zeh. So what is he asking? He's asking over there, I'm not sure what he means. Let's go see how he follows this rule. The Alzeh Teretz Haritva. The Sfir Leila Harambam, the Yitochin, the Bloshin Harambi, Hamila Shema, Loi Mashma Hasoga Seichel, Elo Shmiya Soizen. The word Shema, it does not mean the Seichel, but it means Shmiya. So that's why the Rambam has to deviate. Okay, he's not answering the question. Okay, I don't know what the answer is. I really don't know what the answer is, but at least we take away one thing from what he's saying over here. One thing over here, I never appreciated this. This is all new to me, is that the Rambam, after all this whole long-winded Chagagi that I'm boring you with, the takeaway is we have a Rambam. And the Rambam makes a very critical observation about Unkelis. Unkelis will never ever translate a word that is said about Hashem in physical terms. Hashem is not physical in any sense of the word. Hashem is kuloi ruchni. And when the Torah writes words that Hashem listened, Hashem got angry, Hashem is powerful, he's strong, he's a gibor, he's mighty. The Targum will always take those words in the Torah and will translate them as concepts. He will take words and he will and translate the words not literally. He's not going to translate those words literally, but rather he's going to explain it as a conceptual principle. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, the way he conducts the world to the human being, it appears that we see enormous power. But do not make any mistake and think that Kadosh Baruch Hu in any shape or form has any physical form. But the noticeable exception, which we don't have an answer for, we're leaving you with this question, The notable exception is speech. This is the only place where the Targum does not even make the slightest attempt to deflect the misleading impression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is physical. When it comes to communication of Hashem speaking, not listening, listening the Targum will deviate. Listening, we just on the Targum will go and take and will go out of his way not to translate the words literally. The only exception is the Koyach HaDibur. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us, then the Targum has no problem using a translation that is exactly the same as we would use for a human being. And that is a very interesting idea. And that begs why. That is something which requires understanding. And if I may suggest, I'll tell you what I think the answer, what part of the answer is. Part of the answer's question is that we're making a very big mistake. We think that speech is physical. So if speech is physical, there's, again, the throat, there are vocal cords, there is air that's flowing. You breathe, you have to know how to breathe, and you have to do this and do that. It's an art. Speaking is a gift, it's an art. So we think, we are misled to believe that speech is physical. And now we have a question. Now we are mystified. Why is the Targum breaking his own rules? And when it comes to Hashem, whenever Hashem speaks, Hashem, he translates the words like you would talk about a human being. It's just the opposite. The koyach of dibur by a human being is kula ruchni. It's just the opposite. Every single thing there is by a human being is physical. Everything. So when you're going to use the same term by Hashem, that's you can't do that. That's a no, that you're not allowed to go. You can't go chas v'sham, go equate a human being with the kodesh baruch Hashem is kula ruchni, we kula gashmi, you can't go there. But guess what? It's just the opposite of what we thought. The koyach of dibur, of speech, by a human being, is kula ruchni. It's purely spiritual. The ability to speak. Thus, when we say that Hashem is speaking, yeah, because Hashem is kula ruchni, so Hashem speaks. The chiddush is that we also can speak. That when Moshe Rabbeinu vayidaber Moshe, the Klal Yisrael, that we also can speak. Because when a human being speaks, this is kula ruchni. And I'll prove it to you. How can I prove this to you? Because the Targum is Lushitasa. Because the very first time that man came into existence, Vayipach be'apov nishmas chayim. Hashem blew into the nostrils of Adam a neshama. And then the pasuk says, Vayihicha Adam l'nefesh chaya. Man became a living creature. Now it's the same unkelus. What does the Targum unkelus say on that pasuk? Vayihicha Adam l'nefesh chaya. So if you would put yourself in the shoes of Unkelis, you would just say, I don't know, you would say, Vahavel Adam Nishmas Chaya. I don't know, you would come up with some, you'll look around, you'll take out a jastro, you'll go look online, some Aramaic, Google Translate, you'll find some Aramaic translation, you'll ask some people to make sure that it's grammatically correct, and you'll put down a couple of words. Yet the Targum, he shocked the world. He translates, Vayihicha Adam l'nefesh chaya l'ruach mimalela. Man was a speaking creature. The essence of the neshama is the ability to speak. Dibur, what do you mean? But speech is something physical. L'nefesh chaya? No, that's our mistake. The ability for a human being to speak, it is something that is purely spiritual. And that explains why the Targum, when he describes the Kadosh Baruch Hu speaking, he doesn't have to go and change the words. Because it's just the opposite. This we can speak is the Chiddush, that we're also spiritual. I always wanted to see, this answers the question I always wondered about. How do neshamas in the other world, in the Olam HaEmes, communicate? I really always wondered about, I wonder a lot of things, but like, how do they communicate? How do they speak to each other? There's no speech. There's no speech by a neshama. In order to speak, to communicate, we know that in this world you have to move your lips, you have to breathe. There has to be some communication. There has to be some physical effort that goes in to speak. Now, it doesn't answer the question, obviously. You know, it doesn't answer the question, but it lightens the question. This whole principle that we're learning over here now, with this whole chiddush over here in the Ma'atzar, what he's telling us, it lightens the question. Is that by a neshama, the most natural characteristic of a neshama is speech, is dibur. The most in the world of spirituality, the most natural thing that exists is the ability to speak. And by extension, what do malachim do? They sing. They sing shira. They don't just speak. Yaakov was wrestling with the malach. What does the malach say to Yaakov? I gotta go. It's my time to sing shira. What's all that about? So don't sing shira. So you never miss davening. You never woke up late your whole life. You have to go sing shira every single day. No, you don't understand. This is who I am. My essence, the essence of a malach is communication, eloquent communication, which is expressed in the terms of song. That's a more elevated form of communication. Thus, you know, that's like we talk about in Rosh Hashanah. This is going to be Rosh Hashanah. Why do we today observe 2 days Rosh Hashanah? Because it happened 1 year that the witnesses came late. And because they came late, the Shira got all messed up. So what? You never said the wrong Hayoim Yoim, the wrong Shira in the morning. After davening is over, everyone says Hayoim Yoim Sheni B'Shabbos, Hayoim Yoim Shlishi B'Shabbos. It never happened to you that your mind is elsewhere and you said the wrong day, or you didn't say anything. Who knows what you're doing? You don't even remember. Does everyone even remember here that they said today, this morning, they said Hayoim Yoim? Can you go back in your mind and remember that moment? Big deal. So the Levim said the wrong Shira. It's still day. So go say the right Shira. Just because it happened one time that they said the wrong Shira, so they have to eat for all generations 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Really? Is it really necessary? The answer is Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the creation of man. A human being is kuloi gashmi. There's nothing spiritual about a man. There's only one thing that is 100% spiritual: the ability to speak. And that koyach is expressed in a magnificent form through song. And if the Shira on Rosh Hashanah is messed up, is incorrect, that's a major tragedy. On the day of Adam HaRishon's anniversary, what makes man unique is to have a spiritual koyach of song. And that's all wrong. Everything, it's the wrong Shira. This is tragic beyond tragic. It's a horror to what the day is all about, the uniqueness of man. Okay, so we walk away from this. I really think this is really, to me at least, this is an extremely fascinating insight. This whole thing with the Rambam, that the uniqueness about man is man's ability. Man's is at the Targum. Umalil, Umalel, Hashem spoke. What? Hashem spoke? That's how you talk about Hashem? There's nothing else the Targum will say about Hashem will equate the Ribbono Shel Olam with Adam. Nothing. Goes against every rule in the book. And yet, here Hashem, Targum, makes the Ribbono Shel Olam into a human being. Hayitochen? The answer is, it's just the opposite. A human being is like a chelik of Hashem through the gift of speech. So the word of Malel is natural. It's natural in the world of pure spirituality to speak. The chiddush is, a human being can also do this. This is the greatness of a human being. And that's the first unkelus in the Torah. Vayehi l'adam l'nefesh chaya l'ruach memalala. Okay, let's now go to Pasuk, next Pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Vo'era Hashem says, I appear to Avraham, Elisa, Yel Yaakov, Bekel Shaka. Hashem is going to give Musar. This is going to be Musar lesson number two. Okay, this is the second Musar. The first lesson was, the first thing we learned was, by the way, Elohim we mentioned was Midas Adin. Vaidaber is kosher. Elohim is kosher. It's harsh. El Moshe. Why was Hashem speaking to Moshe with toughness? Because Moshe, this is a continuation of last week's Parsha. And in last week's Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu was a complainer. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Umeyoz Basi El Pare Heral Am Hazes. So Hashem now is speaking back to Moshe Rabbeinu with harshness. Moshe Rabbeinu is getting Musa. You want to speak harshly about them? I'll talk harshly to you. Midu Keneged Midu. And the Hashem says to him, don't complain to me. Neman L'Shalem Socher. I am faithful to give reward. I will give reward to the believers. And now we come to the next, this is going to be the third Musa Shmuz. With harshness, Hashem says, I pay reward. Don't tell me what to do. I'm Neman to give reward. And now I'm giving you another Musa Shmuz. Vo'era, I appeared to Avraham, Elitzel, Yol Yaakov, Bekel Shakoi. What does that mean? We have to see this spooky stuff. Ushmi Hashem, Loi Noidati Lohem, I did not make it known to them. They knew me, Bekel Shakoi. They did not know me by the name of Yudke Vavke. Now let's see how Rashi learns. Rashi learns this. One second, I think I lost you over here. I got lost over here. What happened to my... I share, resume share, okay? So now let's see how Rashi learns. Rashi, Pasuk, Beis, Pasuk Gimel, Vo'era, I appeared, who do I appear to? El Ha'ovis. I appeared to the Ovis, the forefathers. Bekel Shakai. Why does Rashi say that? I don't know, that's a very big topic of Durosh. Why did Rashi say El Ha'ovis? It says the Pasuk explicitly, Vo'era, El Avraham, El Yitzhak, El Yaakov. So what is Rashi saying over here? El Ha'ovis. I'm not so sure. Bekel Shakai. Hiftachtim, Hefavtochais. I made promises to the forefathers. Uvuchulon. And all the promises I made to the forefathers. Amarti Lohem. I said to them, Ani Kel Shakai. I told them, Kel Shakai, Ushmei Hashem lo nedati lohem, lo hoidati ein ksivka. It does not say I did not make known. Elo lo noidati. What does that mean, lo noidati? This is a very difficult Rashi. Lo nikarti lohem, I was not noticeable to them, b'mida amita sheli, in the attribute of truth, shalecha nikra shmi Hashem, neman le'ameis divarai, I am faithful to make true my word, shalecha iftachtim v'lo kiyamti, I made promises and I did not fulfill. Rashi here is telling us major chidushim, that the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, we say this name so many times a day. I'm sure someone must have figured how many times a day we say the name Yudke Vavke. And according to Rashi, the name of Hashem means Neman, Hashem is faithful, Le'ameis Devarai, to make my words faithful. Emes. Shaharei Hiftachtim, I promise, V'lo Kiyamti. The Ovos never saw the Emes. They believed in the Emes, but they did not merit to live to see a full cycle where HaKadosh Baruch Hu would punish evildoers and would reward tzaddikim. When the cycle is complete, then we can witness emes. We are living in hindsight. We're living over here in 2021. And if you study history, you can see emes numerous cycles of emes, of where wicked people perish and tzaddikim survive and they thrive. Problem though for us is it takes generations sometimes in order to see the entire cycle, to see the entire, and they only lived, they did not even have hindsight to look back and to see the meat of emes. They only saw what they saw in front of them. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you Moshe are going to see the emes, because you're going to witness the Egyptians be destroyed, Mida Keneged Mida. You're going to see how every action brings reward and punishment. You're going to see that. They did not merit to see it. And that's why they only knew me because Shakai. Kel Shakai just represents, Rashi's not going into Kabbalah. All he's telling us, the Shem of Shakai just means that Kadosh Baruch Hu made promises and did not yet fulfill those promises, and they had to have a Munah. But you, Moshe, you're going to see the Shem Yudke Vavke, which is you're going to see the MS. And that's why the Lo Noidati, they did, it's nice, Rashi is a very delicate Rashi. Lo Hoidati Ein Ksivkan. Probably the Rashi is coming to explain these words is that many, many times in Chumash Bereshis do we find the name Yud Ke Vav Ke. We know that. All over, Hashem speaks to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and every time He speaks to them, it says the Shem Hashem Yud Ke Vav Ke. It doesn't all just say Shakai. It says Shin Dalad Yud sometimes, but most of the time it says Yud Ke Vav Ke. So what in the world does Rashi mean? Ushmi Hashem loy meidati. They did know the name. Rashi answers the question. They knew the name. They understood the concept. I use the name Yudke Vavke multiple times. I explain to them the principle that I will reward tzaddikim and punish the Rishoyim. I explain to them the concept, the principle, and they understood the principle, but they never actually saw it in the world of reality. They never saw examples of people doing mitzvahs and being rewarded. They never saw an example of a person who's a Rasha is punished in this world and gets what he deserves. So it's lo nodati, hodati. I made it known to them. I explained to them the principle. They understood the principle. They believed in the principle 100%. But they did not recognize it as a reality because they never actually experienced it. They understood the principle theoretically, but did not experience it practically. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, are going to merit the practical application of emes. This Rashi is very powerful because this Rashi here is really connecting us to the end of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Let's take a step further. After what happened after Yitzias Mitzrayim, who comes forward? Yisro. And what does Yisro say? Yisro, Rashi there explains, what was enticing? What did Yisro find intriguing about Judaism that he wanted to join? Rashi tells that Yisro was the world-renowned expert in theology. He studied every single religion in this world. He knew it all. There's nothing he did not see. He understood every type of theology. What was it about Judaism that triggered a yearning to come close? Ani Yisro Choisencho Boilecho. What was it? And Yisro himself answers the question. Ato Yodati, Ki Gadol Hashem Bikolim, Ki Vadovor Asher Zodu Alehem. Mida Keneged Mida. The Egyptians drowned, the Jewish drowned the children, Kol HaBein HaYilod HaYaret HaShlichuhu. And how did they come to an end? They came to an end through drowning. What else? There's a lot more to that. At Kriyas Yamsuf, we have this just touched the surface, but by Kriyas Yamsuf, what does it say? There were three types of death. Some of the Egyptians, they drowned Ferris, like a piece of lead. Some of them were like stone, and some of them were floating. The Chazal say, why? Why are there three different expressions describing different types of death that came upon the Egyptians? So Rashi says, it was Mida, Keneged Mida. the people that were extremely wicked, they went up and down many times. The people that were in the middle, they fell down like a stone. They didn't go down so quickly, they suffered quite a bit. And the ones that weren't so bad, who were still evil, they deserved to die. They were like lead. They had a quick demise. And it's more than just there were three different types of death. It represents a concept that Klal Yisrael saw with their own eyes. Every Egyptian died and suffered exactly mida keneged mida to his behavior towards them when they were in Egypt. The people that were thoroughly wicked, ruthless people, they saw their own eyes him go up and down like a yo-yo, suffer enormously, exactly to the smallest detail, mida keneged mida. And the Egyptian that was, you know, wicked, but not as wicked, they saw he also suffered, but not as much. And the Egyptian that was evil, but didn't come to the level of wickedness of the other Egyptians, he died, 1, 2, 3. The entire end, the churban of Mitzrayim, including all of the makos, every single thing was a display of mida keneged mida. Whatever you do in this world, there's consequence. There's reward and punishment. This was taught to Klal Yisrael through the entire period of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was taught to them again and again and again. And it is here in this Rashi where Rashi lays this out. Let me explain to you, Moshe, the difference between what you're going to accomplish and what the Avos accomplished. When the Avos, they lived, they saw nothing. I explained to them the principle of Emes, which Emes means you get what you deserve. Reward Ani Hashem. Yudke Vavke Demidava Amita Shali. But the world that the Avos lived in, no one got what they deserved. No one. If you were a tzaddik, tzaddik v'ralo. You were Rasha, Rasha v'toivloi. And they had no experience, nothing to look back to, no art scroll, stone edition of the Chumash to explain all of this to you. Nothing. And they had emunah. They were able to understand and have faith in Hashem. Now we're coming to a new generation, the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. In this generation, the whole tafkid is to teach you, the world, there's something called emes, mida keneged mida. And Moshe Rabbeinu, as we started with today, you are going to be the bridge. You are the bridge. Everything that's going to happen in this generation is going to be mida keneged mida. It's going to be with Shmi Hashem. But you, Moshe Rabbeinu, your role is to bridge this that there's witnessing now back to the others who did not have this principle. They only had Kel Shakai. And to instill, to show Klal Yisrael, that's all the same. And there are eras in history when there's Hester Panim, where you don't see, that's the majority, Golus is all about Hester Panim. You don't see anything. You don't see the Midah Keneged Midah. Times of redemption is where you see the Midah of Emes, where you get to witness in an accelerated form reward and punishment. Okay, let's take a look over here. Let's take a look over here at the words of the Targum before we wind down. Targum says, V'iskelisi, I revealed myself li Avraham, li Yitzchak li Yaakov, bekel shaka, yushmi Hashem loy hoy da'as lohoin. I did not make it known to them. Now, you see, he's saying, he's playing around here with the word Choy Da'as. That's not what it says. It says, Lo Noidati Elohim. What's Choy Da'as? So let's take a quick look over here at the parish on the bottom, very quickly, and see what he says over here. He starts over here, Pasik. Where's the Pasik? Choy Da'as, did we miss it over here? How come I'm still... This is Pasik, yeah, here is Bekel, here is Bekel. Okay, Bekel. Loi. Tirgame be'eloka, commercial tirgame kel rachum, commercial tirgame kelamuna, the neshaka vanish and nigla laovis b'shem kel shakai, ayin rashi. Okay, so see, he's saying something very powerful. Rashi learns Rashi learns, I appear to the Avos Bikel Shakai. Rashi only focuses on Shakai. Kel, what does Kel mean? Kel is not always holy. Kel means power. Yesh le'el yodi. Lavan said to Yaakov, there is power to my hand. Rashi, when we learn this pasuk, says, Bikel Shakai, Hiftachtem haftoches v'kulin amatul remani kel Shakai. Doesn't really explain. Okay, the focus is Shakai. Unkelis seems to say pretty clearly, by not translating the word Bikel as Eloko, as a god, holy, by Bikel, it appears that he learns the word Kel to mean power. I appear to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov with the power of Shakai. It seems almost to say that he holds that he may in fact hold the word Kel in this pasuk is not holy. It's just like Lavan, Yesh Lekel Yadi, because the Targum did not say the way he typically translates the word Kel when it's said back in the Shparach was Eloko. He doesn't do it over here. Does that indicate that he holds that it's not holy? Maybe Bikel, Loi, Tirgame, Be Eloko. He didn't do it. When it comes to Kel Rachum, Kel Amuna, because over here, Shakavana, Shanil Lovas, Meshem Tel Shakai, he seems to say that he's not really explaining, but it seems like maybe he's saying that it's not holy. Next, Hoda is, Ki Loshna Kosov Hoidati, Mibin Hifil, Deloi Kedas Menachem Loki Rashi. He's disagreeing with Rashi. Clear war. There's a war going on here between Rashi and Unkelis. Rashi writes a whole Chad Gadya, that the word loy noidati, what it means, I was not known to them. And he develops this whole drush I just gave you. Targum disagrees. He disagrees. Loy noidati means I did not even teach them. I did not even make it known to them that there's something called the Yudke Vavke. Now, you can't say that totally because we find the word Yudke Vavke numerous times in reference to the Ovas. But it means Hashem never explained to them the depth of what Yudke Vavke means. According to Rashi, Hashem explained to them the secrets, the hashanhoga of whatever lies in the name of Hashem of Yudke Vavke. The only thing is, they never actually saw it in practice. They never experienced it, but they knew conceptually what it was. According to Unkelis, no, Hashem did not even teach them the concept. They did not understand that there is such a midah of Hashem of the midas emes. I mean, what does that mean exactly? I don't know exactly what that means. But it's something that's way too deep for us to delve into. But obviously, he's telling Moshe, you're going to experience, going to gain an appreciation of Hashem that even the others did not experience. That's how it appears he's learning it. I don't see any way out of it. He's going into grammar, that even though it says the word loy noidati, he's going into, I don't know, these nuances of grammar, that the tsuas nifal shehem gzeros yotzim kmoi hecholtsu me'itachem. The oid, okay, I don't know these expressions, but he's telling us that according to the rules of grammar in this context, the word loy noidati with a nun is equivalent to hoidati, and it means Hashem did not make it known. Nothing, that no understanding. Okay, so we learned over here, I think, today a lot of things today. We learned only three psukim, but we definitely learned some interesting things here. Okay, we'll stop here. Mir Tashem will pick it up tomorrow. Have a good evening. Thank you for coming.
Aaron Cole, you still there?